You're on ABC Radio across New South Wales. Very good afternoon. I'm James Valentine. And I read a beautiful piece written by Deb Kruger, who's been a rock journalist and publicist and involved in the Australian music industry for many, many years. Wrote a terrific book about Australian songwriters some years ago. And she wrote a piece. There she is in lockdown in Los Angeles now. You know, there's the city crumbling around her. So her mind turns back to happier times. And so she writes this beautiful piece about Sherbet, the band. And it's beautiful in many ways because it captures her love of the band, but it also highlights another interesting point, which is that Sherbet, in some ways, is somewhat written out of the Australian rock history. So when we talk about Australian rock history, it'll tend to go sort of like, you know, Easy Beats to Billy Thorpe, to Skyhawks, you know, perhaps with a little side bath there through Radio Birdman and the Saints or something, off to Nick Cave, you know, then it's on to NXS and Midnight Oil, this kind of thing. Sherbet, you know, considered a bit of a joke. Those big satin pants, the flares, the big hair, that sort of doesn't allow them to be part of the Australian rock story. So Deb writes this, and then Debbie Spillane joined in. They were all on social media, and Debbie Spillane, you know, from many outings here at the ABCs in sport and in other areas, she said, "You're talking my language, sister. You know, love the band, hate the way no one really gives them the respect they deserve." Well, not here this afternoon. We're going to revive Sherbet, but we're going to put them back where they should be. Deb Kruger, good afternoon.
Oh, I thought you were going to play all of Cassandra.
Well, you know,
it's
a talk program, Deb, so I can only play, you know, excerpts as such as how it works. This is where it began for you.
That was the first Sherbet song that I kind of really knew and fell in love with because it was on the KTEL album Rock Explosion. And, you know, back before I was buying full albums by artists like everyone else, I was buying, you know, Superbad and Rock Explosion and all of that. And
yeah.
Yes, Cassandra was the jewel on that album. And really, you know, many people think that it's one of Sherbet's very best songs.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was one. It kicked off my love story with Sherbet, but it kicked off a love story with music, and particularly knowing about Australian music as an Australian kid.
Yeah, yeah. It's a great song. Like, when I was listening to it this morning and just sort of listening to it now, I'm trying to listen to it without seeing them. And it's you hear it quite differently, you know? Like, if you suddenly just imagine them in a sort of playing kind of way, here's some great playing, here's some great singing.
Well, I'm not actually sure that I heard that very clearly. I'm sorry, the line's a little muffled. But
that's right. No, I was saying that, like, perhaps one of the issues with Sherbet is that their image was so strong that we didn't really hear them in a lot of ways. Like, just hearing that right now, I go, that's a great-sounding band.
Yeah, I don't agree. But, you know, it's interesting because the story I've written, some people have kind of wanted to discuss this angle, and it's certainly not the reason I wrote the story, but it's a valid point that maybe they haven't been as critically appreciated. Although I think that's changed since they were inducted into the ARIA Hall of Fame and did the Countdown Spectacular. And I think what's interesting about Sherbet is that, unlike a lot of bands from that era or the 80s that might have broken up but then got back together and they kind of keep touring, whereas Sherbet haven't. So they've kind of kept a bit of a mystique about them. And so anyone who just kind of discovers how great the music is now is very lucky
that they
do, because it is great music. But it was never not great music.
Yeah.
I just wanted to write a love story about music that really, really matters to me. And that's what I did.
Yeah. Talking to Deb Kruger, her love affair, lifelong love affair with Sherbet, and that might be you too. 1-300-222-702 is our number. Debbie Spillane responded to this. Ms. Spillane, good afternoon.
Hey, James. Nice to hear you. I sort of understand what you're getting at with it. If you don't picture Sherbet and listen to them, I think, you know, I can see what you mean there, because one of the things that I said to Deb, and we had this sort of frantic weekend of exchanging Sherbet stories and anecdotes between each other. We didn't even know each other before I read that blog post. But, yeah, one of the things was that there's this sort of, I've played Sherbet album tracks to musos who don't know who they are, and they'll go, is that what Steely Dan? Or, you know, like there's a whole different perception from people who have no image of what Sherbet was in a promotional sense.
Yeah, it's not like a lot of bands in the 70s didn't look ridiculous, but I think, you know,
they were mocked a bit by it. But
they were mocked for it, and you know, they were mocked for it. They had that, you know, they did the whole glam thing. They had the big hair. And so, but that's what I meant by, I was just sort of trying to listen to that. I mean, let's just listen to You've Got the Gun and try and get, in a sense, not, you know, try and hear it afresh as though you don't know who this band is. It's fantastic, like beautiful singing, fantastic harmonies, you know, compelling kind of song. Deb Krieger, I sometimes wonder whether there's a sort of, you know, Sherbet, Little River Band, Air Supply. There's sort of, it's almost like there's a certain kind of view of Australian rock history that just is a bit embarrassed by that.
Who's embarrassed?
Well, I just think that there's certain, so there are certain ways of seeing the Australian rock history that sort of says,
yeah
we're gonna push them to the side. Yeah. We're gonna push Sherbet and LRB. Yeah, they were good, but we're much more interested in these other bands because they're more serious. There's something a bit sort of commercial and lame about Sherbet.
That's primarily a lot of the male music writers who kind of look back on what they perceive to be important Australian music. And And, you know, I touched briefly on the point that I felt that Sherbet had not been written about, you know, in a heartful way. They'd been written about with tongue-in-cheek or a little bit kind of, you know, derisively, even by male writers that actually admire Sherbet. It just seems to be a thing to perpetuate this notion that Sherbet could be poked fun at. And, I mean, even you've done it briefly, you know, as part of the conversation, talking about big hair, and they didn't have that big hair really, and satin clothes, and I make the point that I think that they were really quite progressive when they started, and if they'd gone straight to LA and hit the Sunset Strip, they might have been supporting the Doors at Whiskey A Go Go. They were really, really good musically from the very beginning. And you know, overall their catalogue is considerable and brilliant, and I just find myself here in Los Angeles in a very difficult, you know, life situation, playing them a lot.
Yeah. And so is there any reason in their career, in their history, why they didn't break out of Australia? Did they tour the US? Did they spend time there?
Yeah, they did put quite a bit of time and effort into it, and they recorded an album here in LA in 1978. And I do talk about that in my story, about the fact that it was quite strange that they didn't break through when Little River Band were breaking through and Air Supply broke through after them. And I have to say, those two bands are highly regarded over here in America still to this day.
Hmm.
And, you know, and it's a conversation that that one could have about why that didn't happen. And I suggest in my story that I think they were really an Australian band. And even now, Daryl, who's got this huge hit in Australia, right now as we speak, at the age of 71, he's really happy being a star in Australia. You know, if he'd really, really wanted to come over here and spend years and years and years working with him, maybe he could have. But there are some musical acts, like Dragon, like Cold Chisel, who just, you know, ended up being huge back home.
Mm.
I wrote the story primarily because I'm based here in LA and I was quite keen to educate the people who read my blog over here in America.
Yeah, yeah, about a great Australian band. Deb Kruger is with us, and Deb Spillane. We're discussing the legacy, the place of Sherbet in our lives. 1-300-222-702 is the number if you'd like to join us. Deb Spillane, you spent time at Triple J. How did they regard Sherbet?
Well, actually, it wasn't a very Sherbet kind of station, but I did get Daryl, the co-host, hard coffee with me one afternoon, and that was kind of fun. That was just, you know, he just came in and played some of his music, you know, talked about music and that sort of thing. But yeah, look, you know, I think when I read Debbie's article, and I thought that's the kind of article that I've always wanted written about, because yeah, it sort of gets past all of that, oh, and this is how they looked and they were gorgeous. I mean, it kind of mentions it, but it actually is a kind of outlines, you know, sort of what a rich history the band have. And I've had this kind of idea in my head floating around for ages that, you know, it's men who've written Australian rock history. And so for some reason, you know, oh, that was just a band that mostly girls liked, so we can leave them out. Mm. Well, that probably wasn't very serious. You know, and I know that's not, you know, not necessarily exactly the point that Deb was making, but I did like the way she described the fact that male journalists, you know, they're blokies. And, yeah, I know a blokey culture. I worked in sport for so many years. And that sort of rock music thing is a very blokey thing. And I think despite being really good musicians, and I used to go and see them live, and they used to do the most amazing shows. And I was a little bit older than most of the other Sherbet fans. I was mucking around playing in bands myself at the time. I wasn't in love with any of the guys from Sherbet. I wanted to be in a band like Sherbet.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
That was because they were just so good, and they had this exhilarating effect. Whereas so many, you know, I wonder sometimes about the diet of angry rock that Australian boys grow up with. Whereas the girls were off on this sort of melodic and you know, beautifully arranged stuff that crossed a whole lot of genres. You know, it wasn't just go to the pub and bang, 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 bang.
Well, what I find interesting with what you're saying there is I've heard exactly the same thing from my daughter, who's now in her early 20s, but was like a One Direction Bieber fan in her teens. And she would get really angry about this, the way that because the teenage girls liked it, it gets kind of dismissed, and it's almost, and it's because of that. I go, oh yeah, but that's just stuff for teenage girls. And it's like, what's wrong with stuff for teenage girls? why does that get sort of written off?
The teenage girls were very fond of the Beatles, as I recall.
That's
They're not
right.
necessarily bad judges.
Colin.
Hi, James.
Sherbet fan.
As a red-blooded Aussie boy in purple velvet flares, I'm not ashamed. I'm offended by your insinuation.
And so you did you see them in the day?
I was a huge fan. I've still got the tickets. I've got a silver-painted silk banner with Harvey's name on it. I think Summer Love is one of the great Aussie anthems of all time. And I think they did the anthem for an Aussie movie called High Rolling, which is a must-see for Aussie Sherbet fans.
Right. Yeah.
But musically fantastic. I love the music of the, like you played, You've Got the Gun. The great contrast in a lot of their music is fantastic.
Yeah. Colin, nice to hear from you. And, look, we may as well stay with some of the blokes that loved Sherbet. Brett?
Yeah, hi, James. I'm a huge fan.
Now, in the day, were you a big fan in the day?
Yes, I was.
Did you have to defend them?
Well, I just sort of kept it quiet a bit, I think, but because I sort of, you know, got the understanding that all the girls at school had Daryl and Garth names on their school bags, etc., so I sort of kept it under my hat a bit. But, you know, I was able to listen to it on the radio, and my older brothers had some of their albums and that sort of thing. But I was lucky enough to see them as part of a school excursion in concert at the Perth Entertainment Centre, so that was great. But I've sort of had a resurgence in fandom with them recently. I was going over to WA to, I was going to be doing a lot of long distance driving. So before I left, I I grabbed some, I bought some new CDs, and one of them was the Sherbet Anthology. And can I recommend everyone get on to Spotify or somewhere and have a listen to that? There's probably 15 songs there that have all been played on the radio that were all hits. And if you think about what sort of bands have had 15 hits on the radio, you're really talking the upper echelon, you know, yeah. The Beatles, the Stones, the Billy Joel, etc. And they're in that category, but they were incredibly successful in a small pond, I guess. And but yeah, great musicians, a great rock and roll band, and wonderful vocal performances.
Yeah, Brett, nice to talk to you. Thanks so much for ringing in. 1-300-222-702 is the number if you'd like to join us. Deb Kruger, I never saw them live, but I've been reading quite a few things in the last day or so where people are sort of describing them that they were a cracking live band, and even like before they were known, they were really great. They were playing covers, they were terrific, you know, they were really, really accomplished players.
Oh, absolutely. They famously had a residency for several months in a nightclub in Sydney called Jonathan's Disco, which really, really, you know, honed in their performance skills. And they were covering, you know, Free and Crosby, Stephen Stills, and you know, really great music. They were like a confluence of influences, and does that make sense? Confluence of influences.
Yeah, yeah.
They, you know, when you listen to Silvery Moon, that's Clive Shakespeare channeling the Beach Boys and Crosby, Stills and Nash. And interestingly, I played that for a girlfriend here in LA today, and she said, "I like that song." You know, she had no idea who Sherbet was. But if you didn't see them live, and I don't quite know why you didn't, because you were around.
They were playing sort of in the 70s and stuff. I'm not really active until the sort of early 80s, so I never didn't really come across them.
They were spectacular live, and they prided themselves on their live shows, and they toured. They were pioneers in the way they toured around Australia to every nook and cranny.
Yeah, right. Yeah, so is that part of their appeal? They did actually go everywhere. I mean, there's lots of people sort of texting, "Oh, they did our school dance, we did this, and I saw them there." So bands in those days did tour everywhere, but they really toured everywhere.
They really toured everywhere, and that was partly because of Countdown, because Countdown went everywhere, and so they had audiences just in every little country town. And, yeah, the Around Australia and 80 Days tour in 1976, when they released the How's That album, was quite...
Oh, sorry, Deb, I just accidentally got you off. I'll come back to you. Yeah, but the touring was definitely a really big thing. Sue?
Yeah, well, my sister and I, James, we love Sherbet. She saw them live. I didn't. And she came back transformed from the concert. And we were 15, 16, 17, 18-year-old girls, and being girls. But I think Daryl was just sexy, and the music was just different. It wasn't hard rock. It had lyrics that made sense. It all just flowed. It was fabulous.
Yeah, yeah.
Really, really good.
Do you still listen to it now?
No, I don't. But when you just played before or even mentioning the songs, you just go back into another time.
Yeah.
Absolutely brilliant.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Deb Kruger, you've been rocking around listening to Anthology. Are there songs that leap out at you now that like perhaps you didn't notice then as much, or do they sound different in that context?
I'm sorry, can you just ask that again?
Are there
songs that leap out at me now?
Yeah, are there songs that leap out at you now? Are some tunes sounding a little different in the context you're in now?
No. Look, for me, I make a real point in my story about how I kind of live in the past. The past is everything to me. It's my present. It's my future. And so when I listen to Sherbet, I'm not like reliving the 70s. I'm just feeling it now. So it just makes me feel incredible inside. And I mean, I know the guys. I've worked with them. It's like it's very personal for me. And I still love Cassandra. I love Summer Love. And Summer Love, I guess, right now because it's summer here in the Northern Hemisphere. And that's just my favorite summer song of all time. I'm singing it to myself a lot at the moment. It makes me happy.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Deb, I feel that, you know, there's got to be a book brewing in this, doesn't there? It's, you know, the passion you've got for it, you've got to give it a shot.
That is the plan, James.
Yeah, I think that could be a very, very good idea. Deb Kruger, great to catch up with you, and thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. Deb Splane, I think I'll go out with Summer Love. Should we give that a shot?
Oh, yes. I can't believe no one's ever covered this. It'll be a hit again, I promise you. Yeah, great to talk. And I hope Deb does that book because it's a part of rock history that just gets glossed over a
bit,
you know?
Yeah, yeah. But it's almost another way in which they get disregarded, don't they? Like, you know, an INXS will do an Easy Beat song, or, you know, there'll be Hoodoo Gurus all covered. Did Hoodoo Gurus do a Sherbet song? Got a vague feeling. But that sort of sense of, like, this would be a cool song to bring back by a modern band. You know, perhaps Sherbet's not top of people's list.
Yeah, well, that's right. And look, you know, like I said, I think I've got some interesting comments today on social media talking about it. And I don't know if you know Shane Pacey from the Bondi Cigars. He made the great comment that we all knew they were good musicians, but you know, you as a bloke, you just didn't want to be into that kind of music. He said, but now he's more or less saying, looking back now, that's a loss. Mm. You know, so that's it. There were the guys' bands. You know, like, I just think, you know, guys sort of wanted tough bands and girls, you know, the fact that girls didn't necessarily, a lot of girls, I mean, I love Skyhooks and Dragons and all those, but there wasn't very much the girls like Sherbet, the boys like Skyhooks. And surprise, surprise, Skyhooks sort of always seem to come up when 70s Australian music is talked about, but it's almost like, well, let's not discuss that other thing because that was just that band that the girls liked.
Yeah.
And, you know, 10 platinum records in the 70s.
Yeah, that's right. Know, like, they were pretty, albums, pretty you know? Popular. Deb, great to catch up with you, and thanks so much for joining us, Debbie Splane there. Yeah, we'll go out with a hit. See, there's a lot going on in your Sherbet tune. It's Summer Love, of course. If you're listening around the state, then Paul Turton's going to be with you in New South Wales and Newcastle. And in Wollongong, Lindsay McDougall will be along. He'll pick up the Sherbet thing, I'm sure. That'll be the rest of the day for them.
Bye.
I had no memory of saxophone blurtings all over Summer Love. Who's that? Who's doing that? Fantastic. Thanks so much for that. And thanks, Deb Kruger and Deb Spillane, for joining us there this afternoon.